We're turning tonight to the Gospel by John, chapter 15. And then we're going to turn to another 15, Ezekiel, chapter 15. Well, we want to read from John 15 first. Our Lord Jesus is the speaker, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Emmaus Bible College puts out a journal. It is called the Emmaus Journal. It is patterned after the Journal of Dallas Theological Seminary. It is an excellent work by the professors at Emmaus. And I was indeed interested in the article by Dr. S. Lewis Johnson on the subject of feet washing that is found in John chapter 13. For you know that John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, we have the events of one night. And John 13 becomes a prelude to all the doctrine that you have in John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17. All the doctrine that's there finds its prelude in the 13th chapter. And I thank God for men like Dr. Johnson who can well open the Word of God. I don't know of a portion of the Word of God that is more comforting to the child of God than John 14, where our Lord talks about His return, and He talks about the present ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the child of God. Now, when you come to John 15, John chapter 15 was spoken on the way to the garden, as our Lord walked with His disciples to the garden. And as they are walking toward the garden, He tells them of the unique relationship that He, the true vine, has with a husbandman, the vine dresser, God the Father. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In this 15th chapter of John, it is set forth as a picture of divine care. The vine is. It is a picture of not only divine care, but of divine culture. He said, my Father is the husbandman. It is a picture of divine forbearance. All these things are manifested in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And they're manifested by the heavenly husbandman to our blessed Lord Himself. And then to us, because we are united to Him by divine grace. In that fifth verse, He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Without me, you can't do very much. He didn't say that. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now in Ezekiel chapter 15, we have a picture here of the vine, but it's a barren vine. The barren vine of Israel. And we need to examine this 15th chapter, and then we want to relate it to the 15th chapter of John. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, What is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meet for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meet for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will set my face against them, and they shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate, because they have committed a trespass, saith the Lord God. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the imagery that is found in your word. And we pray that as we take what the Word of God has to say from this portion and from John 15 and from the other portions of your Word that deal with the vine, we ask you, O God, to show us how important abiding in Christ is and how important bearing fruit for God is. And to this end, we'll give you our grateful thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. The Word of God in Ezekiel chapter 15 is speaking in particular concerning Israel as a nation. And Israel was selected from among the nations because of no excellence or merit in themselves. Now, the same is true of us. Israel had to say, we are what we are by the grace of God. And every child of God has to say the same thing. It is not by any merit of our own. We are what we are by the grace of God. Now what our Lord is doing in Ezekiel 15, he's showing them how useless a vine is apart from one thing, bearing fruit for God. That is all that a vine is good for. As far as wood is concerned, the vine doesn't have any advantage among other trees. Do you know a man that makes a piece of furniture out of a vine? Do you know any man that goes around cutting vine in order that they have fuel for the winter? No, it burns bright for a second, but then it's all over. And you can't even take a piece of a vine and make a peg out of it to put in the wall in order that you can hang your hat on it. A vine is worthless apart from bearing fruit. And God likens Israel, and he tells us in John 15 how important fruit bearing is. So when we look at Israel, there are many qualities that can be seen in the progenitors of the Hebrew race. When we think of men like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, and others of the people of Israel, we can say certainly, but it was only their relationship to the Lord that made them of any account whatsoever. Abraham was an idolater. So we read in Joshua chapter 24. Moses was a murderer. And apart from their relationship to the Lord, no one would know Abraham. Apart from a relationship to the Lord, no one would know Isaac and no one would know Jacob. It is their relationship to the Lord that counts. And my dear friends, when it comes to us who are in the church of Jesus Christ, it is our relationship to the Lord that is important. Every other relationship will perish. And our Lord in John 15, he stressed the importance of abiding in Christ. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. You see, I have something in my pocket. You see, it looks exactly like a hand. Looks just like a hand. If I lay this down on a piece of paper and trace around it, you'll think it was a hand. I threw it up in the air. Can't do that with my hand. And it falls down with a sickening thud. Shake hands. Doesn't even move. But you see, you put my hand into it, and then you say, shake hands. Nah, it's useful. For this hand can shake hands now. Our Lord says, without me, ye can do nothing. What can this glove do unless your hand is in it? Not a thing. And what can you do as a child of God to bring forth glory to God apart from Christ? Not a thing. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. And the 15th chapter of Ezekiel is given to us as a parable, as it were, in order that we take a look at Israel and we see that their relationship to the Lord, as blessed as it was, the heavenly husbandman took care of them. He blessed them abundantly. And we'll read a few of the verses that tell us about it. He blessed them abundantly. Apart from a relationship to him and apart from abiding in him, they brought forth no glory to God. And they only brought disaster to themselves. So we find when, first of all, when we examine Israel, as the vine that God brought out of Egypt, as he says, we find that their only value is in bearing fruit. But now, second, I want you to notice that the purpose of God in selection of Israel was for the production of precious and acceptable fruit. First of all, Genesis 49 and verse 22 tells us what Joseph was going to be. In Genesis 29, you remember, you have Jacob's dying blessing upon his family. And in the, Genesis 49 and verse 22, he says this of Joseph. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Oh, that our branches would run over the wall. The walls of our church, the walls of our home, and bear fruit on the other side. Joseph was a bough that would bear fruit. In other words, that verse tells us what God could say of Joseph. And Joseph was to be one of the great tribes of Israel. Turn to Psalm 80 and verse 8. It declares what Israel could be. Just as John 15 does to us. If they remain in fellowship with God. The 80th Psalm. And verse 8, 9, and 10. Psalm 80 and verse 8, it says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. There we have poetic language concerning God's tender care for Israel, their redemption from Egyptian bondage, their coming into the land, and God driving out the other nations that possess the land and possessing Israel as a nation. Verse 10, it says, the hills were covered with a shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. Oh, this is what Israel could be continually in fellowship with him. And our Lord says the same of us in John chapter 15. I want you to turn to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 is a chapter of the vineyard of the Lord. and God's tender care for Israel as a nation. Verse 1 of Isaiah 5 says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my well-beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more for my vineyard than I have done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, and there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain not upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant." Here we know who the vine is. The vine is Israel. The men of Judah, his pleasant plant. And what a picture we have here of God's tender care for the nation of Israel. What do we learn from this passage? If the vine is of little use for wood, as we read in the 15th of Ezekiel, its fruit is wholesome and delicious. And God looked for what? For fruit. But it brought forth wild grapes. I have a question. If the vine does not bear fruit, of what value is it? God looked for that which would be wholesome and acceptable to himself. And while this is true of Israel, it is also true of us as believers. Do we believe it? Do we believe that God is looking for fruit in our lives? What did he say? He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." A lot of us, and I'm talking about myself, am I like a glove without a hand in it? He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." He didn't say you can't do very much. No, well, that's how we act. But that's not what he said. He said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." Now, Israel, the third thing we want to notice from this passage, and all those that we looked at, is that Israel failed to fulfill the purpose of God. Year by year, God came looking for fruit. But instead of grapes, he got wild grapes. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1, God had something to say to Israel. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1, and this is what he says. The opening words, "Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased his alders. According to the goodness of his hand, they have made goodly images." Their images that they worshipped in idolatry looked so good, but it was an empty vine. Instead of bearing fruit for God, they bore fruit for themselves. God had something to say concerning Israel in the Song of Moses. the 80th Psalm, God likens Israel to a vine that he planted in goodly soil, and it speaks of how he established them in the land of Canaan. And I want you to notice Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 32. Here we have the song of Moses at the close of the book of Deuteronomy, speaking to the generation that's going to go in and inhabit the land of Canaan. He says in verse 32, "For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter." What he's saying here, he's likening the nations that are going to be cast out by the children of Israel to the vine of Sodom, a people who brought forth no fruit for God. And he speaks of their wine later on in the 16th chapter, the very next chapter in Ezekiel. We read the 15th tonight. In the 16th chapter, he calls Israel as a nation Sodom, and he likes them to Gomorrah. Notice in this passage, their vine is of the vine of Sodom. But when you get to Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 21, the Lord says in Ezekiel 2 and verse 21, "Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me?" Israel became a strange vine unto the Lord. So again, the questions for us are, am I bearing fruit for God? Am I bearing fruit? And that leads us to the fourth thing that we want to consider, and that was a divine dissatisfaction that was expressed against Israel. God expressed his dissatisfaction with Israel as a nation. There is something terrible in the expression in Ezekiel 15 and verse 7. God says concerning them, "I have set my face against them." They had every opportunity, but they loved their own way. They failed to honor God. And therefore in verse 7 he says, "And I will set my face against them. They shall go from one fire, and another fire shall devour them." Did you ever notice when people become restless, they go from one thing to another and they find no satisfaction in the one or the other? And you've often heard the expression, they go from the frying pan to the fire. You've heard that already, or that isn't totally a Dutch expression. I'm sure you must have heard it here in this area. And how true that is many times. But that brings us to the fifth thing, and that is that divine chastisement is apparent in national disaster. The worthless wood of the unfruitful vine was going to be cast into the fire for fuel. It won't be worth much, but it shows the worthlessness of the nation. When we're not being used of God for the purpose for which God has saved us and planted us, when we think of the planting of the Lord, we think of the first Psalm, and we think of Matthew 15, verse 13, where it says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." That is a great text upon which to preach the doctrine of election. But beloved, it's also a text that shows that we are the planting of the Lord, and as a planting of the Lord, to use the language of the Lord, we should be bringing forth fruit for God. Furthermore, as Christians, in trying to avoid one fire, we can just be burned in another. Our Lord says if any plant doesn't bear fruit, it's cast forth as a branch, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, I do not believe that a Christian can ever be lost. I don't think our Lord is talking about eternal punishment. What our Lord is doing in the 15th of John is teaching his disciples the importance of bearing fruit for God and the importance of abiding in Christ. There are a number of things that we can say concerning these passages when we put them together. Number one, Israel is a vine of the Lord, produced according to the flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the real product of Israel. John 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine. And our Lord uses the word true in John 15 in contrasting it to that which was false. Israel had multitudes of false shepherds. We read about them in Jeremiah and in Ezekiel. And they were prevalent in the days of our Lord. But he said to his own that night, now I'm the true vine. And my Father is a vine dresser. My Father is a husbandman. And when you read the 9th chapter of the Romans and verse 5, we read that Israel as a nation, their great purpose, it was accomplished by God. They brought forth Christ according to the flesh. They gave us the Messiah, and God was able to say, salvation is of the Jews. Now, our Lord brought forth fruit unto God. Never forget that. He is the true vine. In fact, he's the only one who could ever say, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You talk about bringing forth fruit for God. Our Lord did. And our Lord does. And he is still. You see, God performed in and through Israel all that he promised to do for them. And God is going to perform through the church all that he promised to perform. But we don't take a fatalistic attitude toward it. Well, we know he said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. As I mentioned this morning, if hearts are going to be opened, it is because the Word of God is going to be opened first. Now, God is going to accomplish his purposes. But we may lose out on the blessing that he has for us. If we do not bear fruit for God, he will find someone who does. For God's purpose will never be thwarted. Wherein did Israel fail? Israel failed, basically, in trying to be like the nations round about. When they went to Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and chapter 9, and in chapter 10, they said, give us a king, that he may go in and out among us. They were dissatisfied with the Lord, and Samuel was so disappointed. He took it personally at first, and the Lord said to him, Samuel, cheer up. It's not that they don't want you. It's that they don't want me. Samuel was God's representative. And their dislike of Samuel was really a dislike of God. Israel wanted to be like the nations round about. Israel as a nation wanted to be like everybody else. Now, our Lord's instruction to us is very simple. He says, abide in me. To abide in Christ, simply means that we continuously enjoy fellowship with Him. Do I want that more than anything else? The fellowship that comes with fellowship with the Father and with the Son. Abide in me. Abide in me. How do we do that? Let's look at 1 John chapter 1. The first epistle of John chapter 1. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Now, if I'm speaking to you personally, I don't use the pronoun we. I use the pronoun I. Who is writing this? It is John who's writing it. And he says, that which we have seen. Who is the we? See, we have to ask ourselves a question. Who is the we? May I just say this? I believe John has reference to the other apostles who wrote to the church. They wrote to us, and John says, I'm just along with the other apostles. We've written to you. And what we have said is what we have seen and heard. That is what we declare unto you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. How can I have fellowship with the Apostle John and with Paul and with Peter? I have fellowship with them when I fellowship in the Word. By obeying the Word of God, I have fellowship with Paul. I have fellowship with John. Now, the way to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son is to have fellowship with John and with Paul, first of all. For they're the ones whom God has given His Word to us. And there is no fellowship with the Father apart from the Word of God. Abide in me, and let my words abide in you, He tells us in the fifth chapter of this book. And you'll notice, in this third verse, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. God doesn't want us to be joyless Christians. The pathway of joy is a pathway of fellowship. Fellowship with the Word of God by obedience to it. And that fellowship with the Word of God leads us to fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And abiding in Christ enables us to bear fruit for God. There is no other purpose that you and I are good for. We're like a vine. We're branches. And unless we abide in Christ, we can't bear fruit. And if we abide in Christ, we can bear fruit. We're not good as a peg to hang a vessel on. We're not good to make any furniture out of it, or even to make a stud for a wall. We're vine. Our only blessing is in fellowship with the Father and the Son. And beloved, if we're living for ourselves, if we're living for this world, the Word of God says that there are those who departed from the Apostle Paul having loved this present world. And then there are those of whom it is written that Paul says that God has provided a crown of righteousness, not for him only, but for all them also who love His appearing. Our text in John 15 says, apart from me, you can't do very much. No. It says, apart from me, ye can do nothing. And the sooner that Philip Bomberger learns that and really believes it, he will bring forth fruit unto God. And you know the same is true for every other believer. I'm just like a glove. It's of no value unless there's a hand in it. And that's exactly our position before God. How can I be of value this week on the job? Meeting people only as I abide in Christ. Now, it's a wonderful thing to be in Christ. You see, and we're that by the new birth. But we are called upon to enjoy that blessed communion into which we have been brought by divine grace. When you think of a vine, I like to go out to Mr. Stafford and visit out there. He has vineyards out there. I mean, that man knows how to grow grapes. And when it's grape season, he likes to take me down and say, taste this one. Now, this one's sweeter than that one. And he can go through that. And yeah, it's a delight. But I'll tell you something. When you walk through his vineyard, for a man 80-some years of age, you see a lot of tender care that the vines show. They're fruitful. And that is comforting. And when you look at another child of God, you see the tender care of a loving Heavenly Father. Let us diligently abide in him that we may bring forth fruit for God. Now let's pray. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your comfort. We thank you for your care. We thank you for your gracious forbearance of us. There isn't a thing about us that you don't know. Enable us to continually abide in Christ, to continually enjoy the blessing of being in Christ, and therefore abide and enable each of us, O God of our praise, to bring forth fruit for thee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.